It is KZN's number one hit music station, and I'm so excited because acclaimed American South African director, writer, producer, and actress M'Beth Davids is on her way to South Africa to promote her directorial screenwriting debut of the movie Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight at the Durban International Film Festival. Now, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight is based on Alexandra Fuller's New York Times best-selling memoir of the same name. The film, in which Davids also stars, thrusts us into this tumultuous world of 8-year-old Bobo, whose childhood unfolds on her family's Rhodesian farm as the Bush War rages to its bitter end. Now, Davids has an illustrious career, guys, spanning decades in film and television, and we know her for many movies like Schindler's List, Matilda, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Amazing Spider-Man, Californication, and I could go on forever. But for now, I'm so excited to be chatting to M'Beth, who is on the line with me right now and literally packing her bags to fly right here to Durban. Hi, M'Beth. How are you?
Thank you, Carol. I'm really good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Are you ready to jet on to Durban?
Well, I'm halfway already. That's why I sound like I'm half dead. I'm jet lagged in London, which I stopped on the way to South Africa, but I'm very ready to get there.
That is so exciting. Congratulations. Congratulations on your directorial debut. How was the experience?
It was very different than the acting experience, which is what I've had up until now. And the good news is that it took place over a very long period of time. First getting the rights to the book, trying to find a writer, then I couldn't find a writer. So I started writing the adaptation, which took years. It took, you know, probably six years in total. Then I started trying to put the pieces together. Then I did the casting. And at that stage, I thought, I know this story so well, and I know enough about camera angles and how to tell a story, so I'm going to direct it. And I loved it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but also one of the most fulfilling things.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, you were raised in South Africa. How old were you when you left?
So I was actually born in the States because my parents, who are South African, were studying in America. So I came to South Africa when I was 8, and I was 25 when I left.
I see. And now visiting, is this the first time coming back home in a few years, or you've been dipping in and out?
No. I visit frequently. My parents are still there. My brother's there. He lives in KZN. So I try to come back at least once a year. You know, it was much more often when I was prepping for the film and shooting the film and then editing the film, which was great. It really got me some very concentrated time back in South Africa. It almost felt like I was living there again, which was lovely.
Right. And now this film is very interesting. Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. For someone who hasn't seen the film, how would you summarize it? I've seen the trailer. I've read the write-ups. Incredible storytelling, incredible acting. I believe the young lady is not even an actor by profession, the main character, Lil Bobo. Can you tell us, for someone who's never seen the movie, like, what can they expect?
Yeah. A lot of people may have read the memoir that it's based on. So Alexandra Fuller wrote a book by the same name, the story of her childhood, mostly in Rhodesia during the end of the Bush War, and then living in Malawi and then living in Zambia. So it's really, the book spans her whole life, but I picked just a moment in time right as the war comes to an end and set it at the time that she was about 7 or 8 years old. And told the story entirely from the child's point of view. And the reason I did it is that I specifically remember my own childhood at that time. I remember being 7 or 8 and the way that I would see the world. And it's sort of the most vivid descriptions in her book, the funniest, most vivid, most sort of tragic descriptions as well, were her perceptions as a little girl seeing things and what a sort of, you know, plucky little thing she was and toughy sort of living on their farm. And I just thought, this is the way to tell the story. So it's really how a child saw that moment in time.
Right, how a child saw that moment in time. Now, you deciding to make a film out of this, was it because you had read the book and felt like as soon as you finished it, you're like, yes, I want to do a story on this? Or how did it come about that you were like, this is the one that's going to be my directorial debut?
So I didn't really have aspirations to direct. In 2001, I read the memoir and thought, this is the best description I've ever read of someone's experience of growing up in Africa, reminding me, she was in Zimbabwe, I was in South Africa, but it reminded me so much of many aspects of my childhood. So I just was like, wow, that's the definitive book on the subject. And then in around 2016, I started to think women were starting to find pieces. You know, I'd taken a lot of time off to raise my children and just basically stopped working because I didn't want to travel and be away from the family. And I thought, gosh, the kids are getting older. Now I could consider going back to something. And I remembered the amazing part of the mother in the book and thought, this is a book I'd like to option, and just happened, the rights happened to be available. Someone else had had the rights and didn't get it done. So the rights were reverted back to the author. So I then went and met with her and said, I know how to tell the story. I just know how to tell it. And more, less at the time thinking of it as a writer, director, but more thinking of, I know how to play the mother, was how the whole thing started. And then it just got deeper and deeper into my bones and into my cells as time went on. When I started writing it, I realized I really want to make this about the child, and the mother is a secondary character. And particularly once I knew I was directing it, I really wanted to minimize the mother because I knew I can't have a lot of screen time as well as try and run and direct an entire movie.
Right. That was my next question, is that how were you navigating that, being on camera and also watching from the director's chair?
It's very difficult because I only had the child for very limited time every day, and she's not an actress, so she'd never acted before. I was trying to capture something very specific. I didn't want a performance. I wanted behavior. So I had a very complicated thing of two cameras on her at all times, very actively feeding lines and feeding instruction from the side, trying to capture moments that were behavioral, not acting. And then the disruption would be when I then had to step in front of the camera, because then I would send the child away. Usually she wasn't, you know, I'd do a reverse and she wasn't in the same shot as me. So then I'd take her off the clock, send her off. Then the camera would be on me. I had no time to look at myself in a thing, in a monitor, or watch playback. I tried it once or twice. It was just too time consuming. So I had to rely on my DP. Were we in focus? Did we get the shot? Do you think we have it? Or on my amazing producer, Helena Spring, to say, what do you think of what you saw there? And she'd say, it's a bit too much of this, a little too much of that. Very seldom, though. She didn't often do it, because I think she sort of left it up to me to know that where I needed to pitch it. And that's how I did it, flying by the seat of my pants. I don't recommend somebody does it both at the same time, and it's not something that I would do again. But listen, I'm so happy that I did. It's just, it's very difficult to do both at the same time and feel like you're giving everything your all.
Right. Yeah, that is so true. And I know that, as you mentioned, you grew up in apartheid era South Africa, and you did touch on the fact that it did give some influence into telling the story as well. Can you tell us, you know, where you drew from your childhood in South Africa during those times to bring the story alive?
You know, there was a kind of, she describes, Alexandra Fuller describes it in her book, there was a kind of casual racism that was part of the everyday. It's just, you know, it's like the scene you'll see when you see the film, Bobo talks to the black children and then she's bossing them around, you know, telling them they're stupid, bring this, do that. And Sarah comes along and says, why are you, you know, you're not old enough to boss other people around. And she goes, don't chase my boys away. And Sarah says, these are not your boys. These are children like you. So it was that. It was the references like that that I remember. And I remember really colliding with those perspectives because I was coming from America. So it was very vivid when I was 8 to see people talking like that. And it was just part of what was accepted. Obviously, then I continued to live in that. And then, you know, watching adults around me behaving badly, you know, too much alcohol, too much power, you know, carelessness with sort of the way that they would speak to people. And as a young child, particularly a sensitive young child, I feel like I took in all of that. And so when Fuller describes it in her memoir, my own sort of recollections of that got lit up. And I remember thinking, oh, this resonates with what I saw, and how she just describes it better than I ever could. So I know how to tell the story from that point of view.
Right. And We can't take away the fact that Lexi Venter as Bobo has been getting so much praise around the world for her authenticity and her rawness in the role. And it all comes from not being an actor, but being able to act like she's an actor. How did you discover this talent?
So the key really is we found her on Facebook because I'd always said we're never going to find, I don't want an actress. I don't want a child that's learned to do iSteadfords and theater and is too performative. I want a child that just is raw and wild. And as soon as I saw her, I knew it was her. I just, you know, I saw her face and I was like, God, what a great little face she has. And then when I met her, she just is such a little live wire, no self-consciousness, no, there's no artifice about her at all. And just funny, you know, she'd say something and I gave her a line to say, she'd sort of get the line wrong slightly, but it would be hilarious the way she'd say it. So I had this just immediate response to knowing what the raw material was of her. She's got a beautifully cinematic face, a face you want to look at. Even when she says terrible stuff and does terrible stuff, you still sort of see through it and see the heart of sort of a sensitive creature. And really the way I did it with her was just keep it very light. You know, I learned really on the first day that if I give her a script and give her a scene to learn, then we get stuck in a rhythm of sing, song, talking and acting. So I chucked out that thing. I said, don't learn the lines. I just want to keep it loose and we'll figure it out on the day, which is throw a line at her, or she'd have a general awareness of what the scene was, give her things to play with. She was 7 turning 8. So if I gave her a feather, it was always moving around or sticking it in her hair, or she's got a wedgie, she's pulling her wedgie out. She's got the hiccup. I keep the hiccup. So a lot of it was done in the editing. I just had cameras capture her behavior, capture her saying a line. I'd call the lines from off camera and then really, really stitching it very carefully in editing. And it's not to say that she didn't act, but she was herself. And editing is a very crafty thing that you can put together if you capture a naturally free, wonderful, charismatic child on film. You can edit it with the sorts of tricks I was using with her onset and voiceover. You can edit it to make a performance.
Oh, wow. It sounds quite magical, quite magical. Now, the movie is open in South Africa as well. Why should every South African go and see this particular film?
Listen, I think anyone of every generation, you know, if I think of my parents' generation or my generation or the one below me, or even, you know, somebody in their 20s, there's a history in South Africa. We all know what the history was. This captures, for anyone from my age or from 30 and older, you really remember and understand that time. For anybody 30 and younger, it was a time that existed that no longer exists, but has very much defined the country the way that it is today. I just feel like it's so thoroughly Southern African. It's not just South African because it's a Zimbabwean, you know, but South Africa and Zimbabwe are sister countries and they bleed into one another. It's its own country, but we will all as South Africans understand that world. And it's actually funny in places. It's heartbreaking in places. It's, you know, I'm reflecting back at South Africans or Southern Africans, Zimbabweans as well, the world that we lived in at the time that sort of shaped the countries as they are today.
Right. And lastly, how did it become part of the Durban Film Festival? That's very exciting that it's going to be you coming down to Durban for the screening here and Durban Film Festival is part of it.
Well, what was great is they actually, I think, I don't know how they knew about it or it was submitted, I don't really know, before all the momentum started in America. So they sort of said, we'd like it to open here. We didn't know we had distribution yet. We didn't know it was going to release in South Africa. We didn't know that it was going to get picked up by Sony or that it was going to go to Telluride or Toronto. All the reviews, we didn't know all that was going to happen. And then it was going to get released in South Africa. So Durban popped up first, the film festival, and said, can we be the sort of South African premiere for it? And we were like, great, that's fantastic. So I'm very happy that it's starting there. Love film festivals. I think it's a great way to start on, before you get into the commercial world, you go into the artistic world of the filmmakers and of people sort of gathering in spaces to show their work and, you know, put their necks out there and really try and tell their stories. And I love that atmosphere.
Oh, and we love you. Thank you so much, Imbeth, for spending time telling us about the movie. I can't wait to see it on Saturday and see you on Saturday, and really get seeped into this film. It's going to be amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.